Boy, get all those old hallelujahs in before. Just pack it up with that. Along the beach by our house, it's about a half a mile from our house. I have to tell you, we live in this town called Ogden Dunes, and it looks kind of snobby. Actually, right down by the lake, it is. Those houses are $1 million, $1.5 million. But as you go from the beach higher and higher and higher away, and when you get to the woods, they don't cost that much. That's why we live there. And we get a lot of people come and visit us during the summertime. Not so much in the winter, but it's a half mile from the beach. And along the beach where we live, there are people who go down with their dogs. And they do. They play this game with their dogs. It's a tennis ball, usually, you know, one of those day-glow or yellow-green ones. And they throw it out into the lake, and the dog lunges into the water, swims out, and gets the ball and returns. And they just keep doing that over and over again till I don't know if the dog gets tired or the person's arm gets tired, but it just keeps happening. And people will walk along, and they'll see this dog thing, the play go on, and so it's just watched with just such interesting looks, because you just don't see that kind of thing every day. And one day there was this guy who was down with his dog. He got the ball all set, and a man who was beach combing, they looked for sea glass, pieces of glass that had been bounced around in there. And he's looking for glass, and he just like bumps into the man, and he's surprised, and the man smiles and says, "I said, my dog, yeah." Say, "Would you like to throw the first one?" And he said, "Yeah, I would like to." So he throws it out, and the dog starts running, but he runs on top of the water and picks up the ball and brings it back. Stranger's kind of fascinated by this, and the man said, "Well, do it again." He throws the ball out. Dog runs on the water, walks back, and gives him the ball. A third time, he throws out the ball. The dog walks on the water, comes back, and the owner of the dog says, "You notice anything special about my dog?" The guy said, "Yeah, I do. Your dog don't know how to swim." Now, before you want to go see this canine on Ogden Dunes Beach, you know I just made that story up, right? But it's important to keep this in mind as we look into today's gospel lesson, because the man missed the point. That's the whole thing. He missed the point. Your dog can't swim, Okor, that's right. But the surprise is, the dog walks on water. Now, we know only Jesus walks on water. I try, but I usually get my socks wet because I just sink that much. That's not true either. I made that one up. In the gospel lesson, we got Peter. And Peter is really good at missing the point. It goes on and on with Peter all the time. Just 6 days before this event of the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter and the disciples are with Jesus, and he asks them the question, "Who do people say that I am?" They give him all sorts of different answers. And then finally Jesus says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter raises his hand and says, I know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus acknowledges that nobody except somebody who has been empowered by the Spirit could name that name. "Good job, Peter." And then Jesus starts to tell them the truth. "The Son of Man must go down to Jerusalem and be handed over to the scribes and the Pharisees and be killed. And on the third day, rise again." And Peter misses the point. He takes Jesus by the hand and says, God forbid this should happen to you. And you know how Jesus responds? Not, well done, good servant. Get behind me, Satan, for your thoughts are thoughts of human beings and not of divine things. Peter missed the point. He knew who Jesus was, the Christ, but he missed the point of what Christ came to do. Jesus is telling him about what lays ahead in the future, how suffering and resurrection were all part of God's plan, the plan of salvation, and missing the point completely, Peter just blurts out the first thing, and again, he missed the point. So now it's that 6 days later, and Jesus takes Peter and James and John. I guess they're like the inner circle. He takes those three guys up on top of the mountain of transfiguration, and there before them, he is transfigured. In Greek, that word is metamorphosized. He is like a butterfly in a cocoon that breaks open, and what was a nasty little worm thing comes out and flies with glory. He's transfigured. His clothes become so dazzling white, like nobody has ever been able to bleach them. Not with OxyClean or anything else. It's just amazing light shining from him. And Moses and Elijah are there, and they're talking to him, and his glory, and the voice from God comes and says, this is the beloved, my son, listen to him. It's amazing. And Peter comes to the realization, this now is something, and I don't want to miss the point. So Jesus, I'll tell you what, let's make three tents, three booths, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and let's just stay up here. I mean, the view is good. I mean, let's just look around, and man, this glory is just something else. We won't even need lights at nighttime. You just shine. He missed the point. I imagine if it were today and these times, Peter, he might have had another thing in mind. Jesus, hey, let's make this like Disneyland. Yeah, we'll build three booths, and you guys can just stay up here, and then maybe, you know, like donkey rides up the mountain, and we'll have rest stops and sell trinkets and t-shirts that say, I saw glow-in-the-dark t-shirts that say, I saw Jesus transfigured. This is going to be great. Refrigerator magnets, keychains, all that stuff. But that misses the point. With all the dazzling glory, it would be a lot better than the image of Jesus that he had just given to them about death and resurrection. People come to see Jesus and they see and know his true majesty. Glory, not a cross. That's what Peter sees when he misses the point. Glory and not humiliation. That's what Peter wanted. And again, he missed it. But then the Almighty Father descends with a voice and says, this is my beloved. Just like in the baptism when nobody heard it, now you three, you get the message? Don't miss it. Peter, you got it right a few days ago, but don't miss this one. The voice from the cloud reminds Peter and James and John that the Son of God is Jesus. And when he talks about suffering and when he talks about dying and rising that will bring about salvation, he's not making up a story. He's telling the truth. So listen to him. Now, it's easy for people to forget and miss the point of the whole gospel story. You know, the beginning of this season, we had Advent, and we were preparing our hearts to receive Jesus, and then comes Christmas. Oh, how beautiful, how wonderful, warm and sentimental and schmaltzy. It's just fantastic. I love it. And then it's the baptism of Jesus and the season of Epiphany. And here we are today at the Mount of Transfiguration and all the glory of God. And it's great. But don't miss the point. We're going to go into Lent. And it's going to be repentance. It's going to be understanding who we are. Don't miss the point. Some people think of Jesus as a good guy, you know, a teacher. It's a fine teacher, example of how to live our lives with love and generosity. And no, he does show that. Others see him as a protector, a healer, a provider, the one who has all the answers and will answer prayers. And he'll call us out of the desperation of our lives. That's Jesus. That's good. Some people want to see Jesus as the one who rights the wrongs. Judgment time. And that's good. That'll happen. And some people think of Jesus as the one who just sits on the throne of God and rules with power and majesty, but just leaves the world alone. That's not so good. Most of these things are true, but you can miss the point completely if that's all you ever see in Jesus. The fact that God doesn't stop him from allowing himself to suffer and to die for the sins of the people, for you and me. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is your Savior, not because he shines with glory, but he takes on the glory of the cross. And to know all the stories about Jesus, to know all of that, know the chapters and the verses and quote them by heart, that's all good stuff. It really is. But you miss the point if you don't trust them. If you don't trust the words of Jesus, if you don't rely on them, if you don't have faith in him, if you don't regard him as the one who will comfort you when life's troubles get to be just too great, when things like death strikes home, you miss the point if you don't hear that word about life, death, and resurrection. He's the one who will strengthen you when you wonder, how am I ever going to get through this pain, this suffering? Trust. Yeah, trust that he will forgive you those times when your eyes just get out of focus and somehow you just miss the point of the one who Jesus really, really is and what he does for us. Dazzling light emitting from Jesus, Moses and Elijah, cloud cover, voice of God, this is my beloved, listen to him. But when the three disciples looked up, they saw only Jesus. Jesus. Jesus alone. That same Jesus who comes down the mountain with them. Jesus goes on. And it'll lead him to Jerusalem. He goes on to accomplish what he set out to do, from birth to death to resurrection. Jesus goes on and down here with us, where life is happening, where it's sometimes overwhelming with bright glory and sometimes it's overwhelming with darkness and sadness. Jesus walks where we walk, in the places where we are, and to speak words of comfort, speak words of encouragement. He's in those parts of our lives where there seems to be no hope, no hope of a change for the better. Those parts of our lives when We don't know what to do or who to turn to or even how to pray. Jesus journeys with us to the depths of our despair and our brokenness, our illnesses, our struggles, our grief, our pain. He's not just someplace shining. He's down in the darkness with us. And he journeys with us and will remain faithful to his promises, even in those times when we're unfaithful to him. Well, the season changes. And say goodbye and hallelujahs for a while. It's like putting away your favorite toy and being surprised when it comes out again. We'll say goodbye and we'll observe Ash Wednesday with the words, remember you are dust and to dust you will return. Remember humanity. Remember who you are. And then remember whose you are. You're called to pick up your cross and follow. Follow Jesus and hear his comforting words. Don't be afraid. Just don't be afraid. Remember that with joy, and remember with thanksgiving what Jesus has done for us, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. Look forward to that day. And don't miss the point. Before you get there, don't miss the point of what Good Friday is all about. And remember who Jesus is, God's Son. Listen to him. Amen.